Ian's gonna fix all this. So it doesn't matter how much I screw it up.
I'm the guy who invented the thing that's gonna take us out of this place. If you could read my mind, you would know what kind of pajamas I want when it comes to bedtime. Footy, 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 footy pajamas. Footy, 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 footy pajamas. Footy, 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 footy pajamas. They let me be what I want to be.
Ebony and ivory.
I've never actually heard this song.
Oh, see, Ian never picked it up either.
You gotta pick music I know.
Yeah, he's never seen Lion King.
70s and 80s rock.
Oh boy.
Ebony and Ivory's from The Lion King?
No,
I thought that was like a Michael Jackson song.
No, it's Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder.
Oh, I do know that song. I don't know the next line of that song.
No, Sit Together in Perfect Harmony. No, as I've done a lot of podcasts, and by a lot I mean I've started a few failing podcasts, and that's always my idea for an intro, is just to start a duet and hope the other person can finish it. It's yet to happen on any of them.
That's a solid idea.
Yeah, but one of these days it will. I'll be like, oh, this will be the show that works, because you guys finally caught on. No, this is Let Me Pitch This to You. It's an idea podcast. I'm one of the regular hosts, Marcus, and I'm joined by the one follower of the show, because our usual co-host is out of town, and it's Matt. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I've listened to one podcast in my life, that being this podcast.
Really? I mean, I'm very sorry. This isn't, I wouldn't say, a great first one to start with.
No, it's up my alley. I like the idea pitching. The idea of pitching ideas, if you will.
Yeah, this is the podcast I've thought of. I thought of ideas and stuff like this for a long time. And the reason I got very into this one is all of my other ideas were like, oh, it's just like this podcast I already listen to. Or, oh, it's just like this thing I already partake of. I've never heard of a podcast like this. I know one podcast now that does occasional episodes kind of like this. But it's not a consistent thing, and it's a little bit different. So, and that was after I already started our show. So, I don't feel bad about it.
Very good.
So I guess I don't know who's gonna vote. Oh, did you listen to last week's episode?
I did.
Did you leave a comment? I didn't see it last time
I
checked.
I was trying to pull it up, but I can't get the Wi-Fi to work here, so
I'll see if it'll work.
The one
my
thing
phone.
I didn't print out was my comment.
Yeah. I know the access to cell towers isn't great inside this brick building, but
I've got perfect signal here.
Really?
Let me see what I can find.
I have, you know where I have really bad signal? Everywhere in Papillion. I don't know why. Like, you'd think.
What provider do you have?
Sprint?
I don't know.
It's probably because I broke my phone.
Okay, I've got my comment here.
Okay, cool, cool.
Alright. Well, this is weird, because I think when I write, I sound pretentious and I try to be more relaxed when I talk. So, okay, I'm pretty sure Wendell, that was the name of your guy, is also the name of one of the chefs from the old Cinnamon Toast Crunch commercials.
I've never seen any of those.
I'm dating myself here, that's the problem. But you also started calling him Winston about halfway through, so I'm not sure.
Well, that was, I watched some of the TV show New Girl, and there's a character named Winston in that show. That's what happened. I realized that watching back on it, like listening back to the episode, I was like, I did call him Winston several times there.
So, yeah, we'll see about that. I liked that alternate reality time travel scheme. I think that makes more sense than what you typically have where people will actually change things. You can have a time travel show without having all these weird logical paradoxes. And the only other alternative, I think, is to go like the 12 Monkeys route, if you've seen that. It's a really depressing movie. He goes back in time, he tries to change this big event, and he ends up causing the big, awful event by going back in time in the first
place.
Neat. That's almost as depressing as the pitch you had. For Ian's idea, that live-action Mario thing, I cannot think of live-action Mario without thinking of that 93 Bob Hoskins movie, which is just...
Yeah.
absolute train wreck.
Thinking back on that, he's like, I think it's the first time this has been done. I was like, yeah, I think so. And I was like, oh, no, it's not. And it's very bad the first time.
So bad. And that ruined my childhood. I was like 11 years old. And I'm like, Mario, I'm going to get to see a Mario movie. No, it's terrible. Yeah, Ian's idea was a little closer to like the Mario cartoon show, if you've ever seen that. They had a couple of those too.
Big fan of that show.
Those aren't bad, but for the most part, I really think that that whole well has been poisoned, video game adaptation. I don't think that's a good idea these days.
Well, I think, yes, I don't know. I heard Warcraft was, if you went into it expecting it to be a deep story or something like that, it wasn't that, but if you went in expecting some fantasy ridiculousness, then it paid off with just bad CGI.
I didn't hate it, the Warcraft movie, but yeah, it's still not
good. Not good. Okay, that's fair. I didn't see it. I pretty much only watch Marvel movies right now, and I watch The Fate of the Furious. But
oh, I need to catch up on those.
Very good.
So all in all, I'm going with Marcus's vote this week. Yes, you got my vote. I don't know what your other votes were.
The only other person who voted through email is Andrew McNutt. I know you know him. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't voted for like the past three, I think. So I'm just going to say I won last week. Also, here's an idea. If I end up going first, I'm going to kind of haggle with you real quick. If I end up telling our story first, or my story first, my idea, which I don't even have written down because I came up with this so last minute, and it's such a gimmick that I think I'll get through it real quick and try not to talk myself into like a plot hole. But if you realize your idea is just going to be way better than mine, just tone it back like a little bit, and then I'll work on how to get you on the show more often if you enjoy this.
Okay.
So just don't like beat me too bad if you realize you're going to win, and I'll be like, okay, Ian, we need to figure out a way to get Matt on the show more.
That actually plays well with what I was thinking, because I've had this idea for like 20 years. I was a kid when I came up with this. And I wrote it out, I wrote some notes, and I was discussing it with Morgan, with my wife, because I wanted her advice. And she said, and this is a direct quote, "That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard."
See, I think it's like you're talking about some conversation I had with Ashley. When like, I'll never forget when David Bowie died.
Okay.
I don't watch any news or any, like, I don't check Twitter or anything like that, so I didn't know David Bowie died, and then Ashley mentioned it kind of just offhand, like it wasn't a big deal. So I thought it was like a joke or like a rumor, like, oh, David Bowie died, okay, like, yeah, right. A week later, somebody at work talked about how David Bowie was dead. I was like, wait, what? Like, for real? It's like, or there's a big comic book thing that happened, and I was complaining about it to Ashley, and I'll, like, it was one of those, like, you're trying very hard to care, but I can tell that you would rather me talk about anything else in the whole world. So
yeah, get used to that. That doesn't change.
It's like, that's fair. I mean, you don't understand or care about this, but
so because of that reaction, I came up with a new idea mostly this morning and wrote that out.
That's fun.
And so what I wanted to do was hear your idea and then pick which one of these to go with.
Oh, okay. See, that's fair. Yeah, so my ideas, again, it's just going to be a thing. I'll go first.
Okay.
This works great. Have you, I don't know if you've watched, I haven't, but I know some about the TV show and book series Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I've read the books. And I've seen a censored version of the TV show, which, if you can find that, you should not watch the uncensored.
Yeah, which I've heard is, it's one of the shows that so much has to be censored, from what I've heard, so much has to be censored out that if you don't read the books, you don't find another thing to kind of go along, you'll miss big parts of it that could be relevant later on. I've never seen it or looked a whole lot into it. So, my idea is not even going to necessarily be, it's going to be a parody of that.
Okay.
Based on what little knowledge I have of it. So I'm going to kind of throw out there what I think the show or the TV or the movie is, not movie, books are, and we'll see how that works.
Okay.
The best I understand it, it's a bunch of horrible people fighting over kingship, like to be the king of a place or a group of places, I don't know. And it all has to be done before winter comes or something. And it's just about the horrible, horrible things they do to try to get power, and then there's dragons and fighting.
You're not too far off.
Okay. So it's called Game of Thrones, right? Mm-hmm. Here's my pitch. I'm going to pitch you this. Game of Phones. Right? Okay, so...
I like where you're going with
this. Oh, boy. And again, I heard a joke about this on another podcast I listened to, and was like, oh, that's going to be my pitch. I don't have anything else that I think's good. So I'll figure I'll just try to make a bunch of jokes. So what I'm thinking is, it takes place at a college or a high school, because who are more people who make, like, the worst decisions and can be very horrible to each other than high school students, right?
Like, yeah, that's good.
So then, because we live in a world that's so focused around social media and millennials, you know, right? Everybody hates them, which I can say because I'm too young to be a millennial. I'm whatever generations after that. I don't remember.
I'm slightly too old to be a millennial. See? I'm right on the cusp there.
So let's just make fun of them.
That's
screw fun. Millennials for real. No. So I want to play with this idea of, like, smartphones and social standing as kind of being that throne that everybody's trying to get. And then I want to focus on all of the stereotypes you've ever seen in every single high school movie or TV show, with the jocks, the nerds, the goth, the outcast, the popular people, and just have a show that'll be 4 seasons long. We'll say they all start as freshmen, and it's just them all trying to be at the top of the social ladder of a high school and the horrible things they're willing to do because of it, and a lot of it's focused around social media and stuff, and that's why the phones are involved.
I like this idea a lot, actually. Is that the gist?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got. If you want to flesh it out and ask questions, go for it.
Yeah, I have a few. So you said it's a parody. Are you playing, like, is this going to be very broad? Like, they're going to, like, deliberately be funny? Or are they, like, the characters taking this very seriously?
Yeah, okay. Have you seen the TV show Burn Notice?
I haven't. I've heard a little bit about it.
Okay. Burn Notice, I think, if you watch it and think that Burn Notice is a serious show trying to be serious, Burn Notice is one of the worst shows you'll see on TV.
Okay.
If you watch Burn Notice, which what I think it is, as a parody of every single just bad action movie you've ever seen, Burn Notice is one of the best shows you'll ever see on TV. I want it to be like that, because Burn Notice, intentionally as a joke, takes itself so seriously. I want it to be like that.
Okay, I'm right with you. I get behind that. I think one of the funniest things you can do is to take something so seriously that just to the point of absurdity.
Yeah, like, anytime anybody changes anything in a comic book or anything and everybody gets so mad about it, it's like, hey, this is fictional characters, and the nature of the beast is that comic, like, status quos have been being upset since they were set to get life to comic, like, I know a lot about comic books, so it's like, one, it always goes back to the status quo. Two, ever since the status quo has been set and people start to fall off a book because it got boring, they've just upset it and got people back on the book. Like, it's a big cycle that happens with every character and the two main publishers of Marvel and DC that people tend to get shocked by still, that I don't understand. But
yeah, I got nothing on
it's
that.
It's a lot of fun.
I read a tiny amount of comics and nothing modern.
Oh, well, like, what do you read? I know. Oh, also, I have a question for you, and this has nothing to do with this. I've heard that you dislike Spider-Man.
Yeah, the character of Spider-Man, I'm not a fan.
I've never understood why, because I think Spider-Man's one of my favorite superhero in comics. My favorite comic book character is Nightwing, but he has no powers.
Nightwing is Robin after he grows up?
Yes.
Okay.
Original Robin after he grows up, because other Robins become different things after they grow up.
Okay. Because Dick Grayson after he grows up.
Dick Grayson Robin as Nightwing, yeah, as Batman. But, yeah, so why don't you like Spider-Man?
So Spider-Man is a colossal nerd, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a colossal nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I go to comic books and comic book movies for escapism. I don't want to read about a colossal nerd. I want to read about the coolest person I can imagine. Someone who is... I want to read about Batman. That's who I want.
I was going to guess. Oh, see, this is another thing. I'm surprised Ian isn't here. I started watching Firefly.
Now that he's not here,
so I started watching Firefly. Well, I mean, it was essentially so he stopped bullying me about it. But, I thought I was going to say Malcolm Reynolds. He's a cool person. I like him.
I'm, that's, well, he's Han Solo, essentially, just a little bit meaner.
He's Han Solo if, yeah, if, that's fair.
Have you gotten to the episode where he does the thing with the bad guy? I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't seen it.
I believe I've seen all of them except for maybe the last one.
Okay, so like he has the bad guy sitting right in front of the engine of his ship.
Yes.
If Han Solo did that, he'd be epically cooler. So.
Yeah, I can't believe I've never watched Firefly. But like, that's another tangent we can talk about later, but it was a fun watch. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I was a fan of Firefly. I missed it the first time around, too. I came in like 3 or 4 years later.
Which made me kind of sad. I was like, maybe if a few of us watched this show the first time it was on, then we'd have more Firefly.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. Like, and I don't know. It's a train wreck of a show when you look at like how it was produced and handled by Fox, I think it was on.
Yeah, they like put the episodes out of order. They didn't show all of them. They showed the second one first. All kinds of
nonsense. And they put it in a time slot that apparently like Fox has canceled more shows than any other channel, like, at a certain time slot. It's like Friday night at 8.
Yeah, the Friday night death slot.
Yeah, so it had the odds stacked against it, but it was a fun show.
I did like that show.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, that's just what I thought of. He's a cool character. I like Spider-Man because I think of him a lot as a Captain America person, but more somebody that I can relate to as Captain America, the guy, at least, and I think the good Captain America stories, the guy who always tries to do the right thing for the right reasons.
That's fair. I mean, I like some Captain America stories a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, but I think he's cooler than Spider-Man. But the reason I like Spider-Man is because, like, it's like the same idea, but what if he screwed up a lot at it? So it's just because I feel bad about myself all the time, which is fair. I mean, I suck, but...
You know, I might have started off wrong with Spider-Man. The very first thing with Spider-Man I ever saw was this odd television series. It was a live-action TV series from, like, the 80s, I think. And he has allergies or something. He's walking around in a Spider-Man suit and he keeps sneezing on stuff. And, like, it took me right out of it. This is not the superhero for me. I'm sorry.
Do you have Hulu? If you have Hulu, you should watch the 90s Spider-Man show. That's my first exposure to Spider-Man.
Was that a cartoon or was that...
Cartoon.
Okay.
You might have seen it. Did you watch, like, X-Men the Animated Series or Batman the Animated Series?
I watched X-Men, and I watched Batman. I was very limited on the TV I could watch because we had a satellite dish out in the middle of nowhere, so if it was on Canadian television, I could pick it up and watch it.
Which, that's something that I learned. Every single voice actor in X-Men the Animated Series, all Canadians.
Yep.
You could definitely hear it, especially with the people like Gambit who are trying to fake an accent and stuff the whole time.
Yeah, he's, like, the only Canadian Creole I've ever heard on television.
Yeah, so, I mean, back to our story.
Yeah, I guess I should actually pitch something. Or no, do we have to, you do a commercial break, don't you?
Oh, yeah. That's usually because Ian thought it was funny. I thought of an idea where I try to sing a song. I'm not going to try to freestyle a song because I'll get too loud for inside of Sozo's. Like, I don't want people outside of here to hear me. So, I guess as a commercial break, just promote the show. If you like it, vote, subscribe, tell your friends. Matt is on the show. Maybe you guys can be on the show. Again, I don't have somebody lined up for next week, and I have to do it by myself again. So, if you're willing to give me money in any way, shape, or form to be on this show, you can do it. Otherwise, I'm probably just going to try to get mad again.
Well, we'll see how this one goes. If people like it, I'll come back.
And for sure.
If I trash your show entirely,
I'll be honest. Yeah, if we lose the... Well, here's the thing. There's not really a whole lot you could trash because I kid you not, the only consistent fan we have is you. So unless you make an episode so bad you're like, I can't listen to this anymore, I screwed it up so bad that I can't listen to them talk about stuff, then I think you're pretty safe.
Well, it's going to be a problem trying to listen to myself. I can't stand the sound of my voice.
Yeah, awful. See how you said you sound pretentious when you write? I sound like an idiot when I'm writing because I'm dyslexic and I have ADD. So like, I just sound like an idiot because I'm like, here's this thought, and then here's this thought, and I'm going to connect those with a line here, but it's all incomplete sentences. It doesn't make any logical sense if you're trying to follow it. But if you jump around how I'm thinking, it works. But when I hear myself talk, I'm like, what a pretentious jerk. Like, gosh, dang it, I hate that guy. So, that's me.
No.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, pitch your story.
All right.
Oh, are you going with the 20-year-long one or the new one?
You know, I thought it would be clearer after you made your pitch, but it's not. It's so much harder to decide. Yeah, I'm going to go with the 20-year-old pitch.
Cool. Okay.
I'm going to regret it, too. My wife's going to be like, you should have gone with the other one, because it was better.
Oh, hey, will we get a fan out of Morgan? Will Morgan listen to this one?
She promised she would listen to this one.
I'm still in the process of trying to convince Ashley to listen to any of them, so...
Well, we'll see. All right, so here's the title of the first episode of this television series. Okay. That's how I'm going to start this off. Because you turn this on your TV, you're going to see this title across the screen. Is Lawyer Rabbit versus Rip Torn, U.S. patent pending.
Okay.
That's how we start. Okay, so the idea, this is a cartoon series. You have this rabbit, all right? He's a cartoon rabbit. He's a short little guy wearing glasses or whatever. And he's a lawyer. He's a excellent trial lawyer, all right? In the very first case that we see, in the very first episode, he's representing the actor, Rip Torn, if you've not heard of him.
Heard of him.
He's in Will Smith movies, so maybe you know him. if you remember the Men in Black movies, he plays Zed, their boss.
I don't know if I've ever seen Men in Black.
Wow. Okay.
I've seen a lot of movies of Will Smith doing secret cameos that nobody knows about that I've only noticed.
That's fair. Okay, so Rip Torn. Any older people in the audience might know who he is. This rabbit is representing him. And the reason they're representing him is it's a lawsuit against a bodybuilder, also named Rip Torn.
Okay.
All right, so this bodybuilder is attempting to patent his name because he thinks that's a thing. So that's why your episode title is going to be Lawyer Rabbit versus Rip Torn, U.S. patent pending. So the premise of this show, this rabbit is going to present this airtight legal case. He's going to cite actual precedents. He's going to explain to him that you can't patent a name, that would be a copyright, not a patent. And it's going to be educational in that sense. So we're going to have to actually research like U.S. case law for each episode of this show, make sure that he's got his stats in a row, right? Meanwhile, the bodybuilder on the other side of the courtroom, all of his arguments are basically bodybuilder poses.
Okay.
So he's going to stand up and he's going to be like, well, I see your point, but three-point crab! Or standing front biflex.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen. And no one is going to be convinced by the rabbit's arguments. They're all going to be completely swayed by the awesome presence of this bodybuilder and his amazing statuesque figure and everything. So after Lawyer Rabbit loses his first case, he is going to offer Rip Torn, the bodybuilder, a chance to be a partner in his firm. And the rest of this series is going to be Lawyer Rabbit and Rip Torn taking on strange cases across the country. And it's going to be the same pattern every time. Lawyer Rabbit will make all these great legal arguments. They're going to be airtight. If you're a viewer of the show, the intent is that you're going to see these and be like, that makes sense. How could you possibly argue against that? And no one's going to buy it. And every time, the bodybuilder is going to step in and do something impressive physically, and then everyone's going to be like, and then they sign with them.
Oh, so it's just, as you're saying, oh, it's like real life. Cool.
That's, yeah. See, you get it. So there's some background to this. I didn't pull this whole cloth out of the air here. Back in 1949.
Oh, cool. before my time.
Well, mine too. I'm not that old. The very first animated television series was a thing called Crusader Rabbit. It's the same people that made Rocky and Bullwinkle they made Rocky and Bullwinkle. So if you could get the rights to it, then my idea is that this Lawyer Rabbit is a descendant of Crusader Rabbit.
Hmm.
And the whole reason I had this idea, the first episode of Crusader Rabbit has him, like, fighting the state of Texas in a courtroom because they're trying to evict all the jackrabbits from the state of Texas. And he has this big, dumb tiger friend that, you know, I don't even know if they actually make it to the courtroom because they keep getting, like, lost. Nothing works out in that show for Crusader Rabbit. But possibly my Lawyer Rabbit could be like his great-great-great-great-grandson or something. So anyway, the idea is that it works on multiple levels. You've got this adventure-type story with strange new cases every time. Lawyer Rabbit's going to dig into all these, and he's got his big dumb friend with him. And for adults, you get the finer points of the law that get explored. I want to, like, go after controversial laws or unjust laws or current event laws and stuff. And then it should really work as a social satire that no one buys the reasonable argument and everyone just goes with the big dumb brute.
Okay, so here... No, so I would... This is something that I would very much watch. Would this be...
That makes one.
Okay, yeah, so out of the two people who've heard it at the time of this recording, besides you, yeah, you got one viewer. So, hey, it's a lot like this podcast. It's a great idea that really, for the most part, nobody cares about.
No one gets.
Would this be like an all-ages show? Would it be very much for kids, but also for adults?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the... I have kids now, so watching their shows drives me nuts.
See, what shows are you watching? Because there's some good ones.
There are. I don't know if they watch them. They're into this thing called Little Einsteins.
No, that show's not great.
Yeah, but it's not bad. I mean, they learn stuff. I mean, a couple of our kids are like 2 and 4, yeah. So it's appropriate for that. They're learning music and whatever. But it has nothing that I can appreciate.
Like,
and then the other one is Super Y.
Super Y, you see? I mean, like, that's not a bad show. I watched Between the Lions for a long time, because it was a reading show. I think Super Y is a reading
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it is. Okay. They have the power of reading. Which is fine. I mean, it's fine for them. But, yeah, my goal here is to have something that everybody can watch, and they can all get something out of it.
See, because that's one of my biggest problems with... there are those educational shows that are, like, you think of, like, little kids. Like, I always think of, like, Dora or Barney. I don't like those shows. I think that they're some of the worst of that kind.
Sure,
but
yeah.
Those are the stereotypes. And then when they get a little bit older, they get shows that, when I was a kid, I got, like, Batman the Animated Series. And I got, like... have you heard of the show Avengers: Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen any of it.
Used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it still is. Phenomenal show. Love it a lot. And the older I get, the more I realize, like, I like a lot of these cartoons. And I used to be, like, kind of sad about it. I was like, oh, I like these children's shows. But they're more all-ages shows. Like, when you watch Batman the Animated Series, and you listen to some of the stuff they do, and some of the stuff they did... Like, and how much, like, argued with... I forgot who promoted them. Like, who hosted their show. Anyway.
The Batman...
Yeah, Batman the Animated Series?
It was on Fox, I think.
Okay. I listened to a Kevin Smith podcast he does called Fat Man on Batman, where he talked to, like, all of the creators of that show. And interviewed them at different points of time.
Oh, so, like, Bruce Timm and all that.
Bruce Timm, Paul Dini.
Paul Dini, yeah.
Which, if you look at Paul Dini, he's been on, like, every single good cartoon almost ever made. For at least a few episodes, which is... So, yeah, just look at his credits if you're looking for shows that you might like and your kids, or well, at least once they get a little older, could watch.
Sure.
They argued with Fox so much about pushing the boundaries and being like, why can we not show this and we can show this? And, like, when Fox would say no, they made it a point to never switch their idea and just be like, well, we just have to present it in a different way. To where, like, the episode Robin's Reckoning... Robin's parents die, and they very clearly fall off of a trapeze.
Right.
They don't show it in frame. You see a shadow of it, which I think is potentially more horrifying than watching it.
I remember that episode. It was really dramatic
yes.
to see, yeah. I mean, I don't know, in some way I think those kind of limitations kind of push you to have better artistic creativity.
Yeah. As a kid, I never understood why people hated editors. And then as I got older, I was like, oh yeah, like, editors just make stories bad. And then the older I get and the more I listen to this one comic book guy, he's talked about him, he made a few, but he doesn't make comics, he talks about him. He's like, no, like, you need to be put in a box a certain amount. Otherwise, you get stories that Grant Morrison writes. And if you don't know anything about comics, Grant Morrison is an insane person.
I read his new X-Men run. That's like one of the few comic book series I've read.
That's not too bad as far as Grant Morrison goes. He is notorious for taking hallucinogenic drugs and
yeah,
just writing what he sees.
Writers,
yeah, like, you should read, like, Multiversity or, what's that, I made a joke about it on the show one time, Final Crisis? Like, they're all insane. And saying, like, you're like, oh, I see how this is how you got your ideas and stuff. But, like, he's like, yeah, you need to be put in a box, but like not so much that you can't do anything, but so much that you have to try harder. Mm-hmm. Like it should be like, so you try harder to get your point across and get it past that board to make it better. And I think that's when all of those, all like those good all ages shows, they do that. They I think one, they don't treat kids like they're idiots, which I hate about a lot of shows.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. The ones that are really dumbed down just immediately lose my interest.
Well, like, not only lose my interest, like, I feel bad for kids that watch them. I'm like, they're good shows, and I was like, I've talked to you. I spent my summers teaching kids, so I spent a lot of time talking to kids. Kids are so much smarter than a lot of people give them credit for, especially in, like, media.
Yeah, I mean, there's some discernment to have there, too. I mean, like you mentioned Batman the Animated Series, and I have it, and I'm waiting.
Oh, for sure.
Because James, even at 6 years old, he's not quite ready for that. If you remember the first episode of that show, he fights the Man-Bat, and it's, like, the scariest thing in the world. Like, there's, like, that's, he can't handle that yet. That's not going to work.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, I guess the whole point, like, there are shows, I think, that are for kids. I'm especially thinking, like, in between that, like, 10 years old to, like, 12-ish, like, so, like, before, like, they're really into PG-13, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But, like, they're not watching a lot of other stuff. Like, there's a whole thing where, like, right now they're all watching Teen Titans Go and Justice League Action. And if you don't know what those are, look them up on YouTube and watch a clip, and you'll be so sad at the state of TV.
I've been sad at the state of TV for a long time.
At least children's cartoons. Like superhero-based children's cartoons. I love those a lot. But, like, even Green Lantern, I made fun of that show on our show, on my show, this show. It at least has, like, a cohesive story, and you have to watch every episode chronologically, and expects you to remember the things you've seen as the show goes on. Like, and I mean, I like long-form storytelling anyway, but there are still good, like, Phineas and Ferb is the last TV show I think was good, cartoon TV show that's new that's good that I've seen.
Yeah, I think that was well after my time. The last cartoon TV series I remember watching was Batman the Animated Series.
I mean, it's a great one. So on that same podcast I was talking about, Fat Man on Batman, he interviews just a lot of people, and Batman creators mostly, but they all talk about, like, yeah, like, that's, like, everybody wants to make a Batman as good as Bruce Timm and Paul Dini's Batman from the animated series. I was like, that's fair, it's very good.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to top that one.
Or, again, it's the same creators, but have you seen the Justice League show or Justice League the Animated Series?
I've seen a couple episodes. I've not seen the entire thing.
Justice League is pretty good. I argue with... This is one thing I actually got Ashley to watch, and she loves Justice League. Doesn't like all Justice League Unlimited. Justice League Unlimited is my favorite TV show ever made.
Is that, like, the sequel to it?
Yes. It's okay. So, Justice League is... it's tied into the Batman and the Superman show from the 90s, but it's, like, early 2000s when they make it. But, like, so much to the point that in Unlimited, they have, like, they show a scene from an episode of Superman. Like, it actually...
So it's really tied in.
It's really tied in. It's not just, like, same actors and character voices and creators. It's tied in.
Okay.
But Justice League's, like, the seven best superheroes essentially get together and go on adventures. And every episode's a two-part setup. Conclusion. Every episode, except for the last three, it's a three-part episode, essentially. And then Justice League, the animated series, is like, what if we just bring in, every DC hero we can think of?
Okay.
It's very good.
It just seems like it would be a little bloated, but I haven't seen it.
They focus on different characters, and it's very much like here, and have you heard of The Question?
No, I don't think so.
You've read Watchmen, though.
Yeah.
I think we've had this... what's his name? He has the ink face.
Rorschach.
Yes. That's essentially The Question if he was significantly more brutal.
More brutal than...
No. Rorschach's more brutal than The Question. No.
This is a kid show.
but, like, he's he has no face. He wears, like, a blue suit all the time, like, a three-piece, completely blue suit, and his mask is a face with no features, like, no eyes, no nose, no mouth, and he's just an insane conspiracy theorist who, like, walks around, and they had such fun writing him on the show that they're like, we wanted to just make every episode about Question after the first episode we included him in. Like, And it focuses on, like, these weird characters that you don't think, like the Question's a main character for the first season, and Booster Gold has, like, there's a whole episode about Booster Gold. I don't even know if you know who he is.
I do not know who he is. I don't really read DC comics. I know Batman.
What is it? I mean, and I always say my favorite character of DC is Batman, or is the Batman universe, but all the Batman characters, I think, when written at the best, seem like Marvel characters, seem like grounded, the world outside your window, but fantastical.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I like Marvel comics and Batman.
Yeah. I agree. But, yeah, I think that was a huge tangent for me just talking about how much I think kids' shows suck now.
They really do. I don't know if this one would be any better. I mean, like I said, my wife thinks it's the worst idea she's ever heard, so.
But I think just by idea of presenting a real logic, like, somebody using logic on a TV show, I think
it's
is leaps and bounds above, especially not even kids' TV, TV in general. I make fun of Arrow a lot. They don't even do that in Arrow for grown-ups.
See, what I think the best thing that could actually come out of this show is if someday the kids watching the show, instead of saying, oh, that big dumb guy is awesome, they say, hey, that rabbit actually makes sense.
they have that moment that everybody says you're going to have as a young adult when you become, or when you're like a kid and become a young adult, where you say, you know, my parents weren't all that dumb. Now that I think back on life.
Accelerate that process as much as possible.
For sure. Yeah, I would watch it. It sounds like a phenomenal show.
I would watch it. It's definitely the zaniest thing I think I've ever come up with. That's why I didn't pitch it to you in those in the grab bag list.
I don't know what, like, that's the thing. I'm constantly scared, as far as the grab bag shows go, that me and Ian are gonna, like, take somebody's story and be like, you ruined my idea. And I'm like, that's, like, so scary. It's like, eventually, if we get popular, if we have, like, a somewhat of a following, and somebody's, like, pours their heart and soul into this pitch, like, I'll never be able to get it out there, so they give it to us, and we pitch it, and they're like, you ruined it. Like, and I thought of this for years. Like, if they pitch, like, a childhood story like you just did, and be like, you guys, like, what... Boy, like, that's something I'm actually nervous about that I thought of.
No, I think you gotta know going in that if you're handing your idea to someone else, it's no longer your idea.
Yeah,
it's an intellectual property argument, yeah. There.
We're the vampire editors from Final Crisis. Which, that's...
Yeah, you lost me.
No, that's the joke of Final Crisis from Grant Morrison. He essentially makes a story where there are vampire-like people who very literally, in the sense that I'm pretty sure, I haven't read it or looked at it in a while, literal editors for DC are visually drawn and represented and, like, reference some, like, almost by, like, makeshift mocking names about how they're vampires and suck the life out of stories and how they shouldn't exist. Like, it starts out as this weird fantastic, you're like, oh, Grant might actually have something that's not, like, buck wild insane. And then it turns into just him saying, hey, you all wish you were me. I signed a contract with DC that says they can't edit me. They can choose not to publish my stories. They can't change anything about them. Yeah. But it's that hand over fisted by the end.
Good artists need editors. I mean, just look at George Lucas and what happens when people let him run wild. That's
another great example.
That is a case in point.
Oh boy. And I still love the idea, though, of those editors looking at Grant Morrison's story. I know they're not dumb people.
Hmm.
Seeing the whole idea of being them sucking so much and being like, money's still green. I still make more money than you do. Print it. Like, people will buy it. It's a crisis. Like, I like that idea a lot. But.
Yeah, I mean, good editing is an art. I mean, the story comes through refining it. That's where an idea actually becomes something worth watching, I think, or listening to.
And that's a lot of the show. Like, one of the main reasons, besides I think I'm a bad writer and I hate reading my own writing because I sound like an insane person. I almost said pretentious, but I was like, no, I don't sound pretentious when I write. I sound like a 6-year-old. with all the misspellings and anyway, like, if I'm gonna take my time to write a story, I want it to be one that's worthwhile. Like, I'm a busy person. I want to be a firefighter. I know that the odds of me being a creative individual and having the time to dedicate to that is not going to be huge. I'm not going to have the time to write all my stories that I think of. So I was like, if I'm going to do that someday, I want it to be a good one that's been vetted by a lot of people, that they like the concept and it's cool.
Oh, that's the right approach, I think.
But... Yeah, did you enjoy this? Like, we can talk about this real quick.
Yeah, this was good. And I was telling Ian this story. When I was in eighth grade, they had this technical education class, and they had these little stations that you could do. So you could do, like, five of these different stations during the course of the school year. And I did, like, model airplane building and rocketry and something else. And they had a radio one. I really wanted to do the radio one, and I didn't get to do it. So this is fulfilling this strange childhood need. Now I've put way too much pressure on the whole thing. But, yeah, I mean, podcasting is radio of the future, right? Something like that?
I mean, that's like a... It's one... Nobody knows what it is anymore, really. Nobody my age knows what it is. Because I'll say something about podcasts at work, and I'm like, what's that? And I'm like, internet radio is the best I can come up with?
Yeah, I think that's apt. I mean, it's something you listen to when you want.
It's internet radio that is usually very, very broad, like regular radio, or one of the most niche sources of, like, media or content that you can find.
Yeah, according to my wife, only nerds listen to podcasts, so...
I will make one change to that. Listen to more than one podcast. I know a lot of people will be like, oh, I follow this one podcast that is, like, about current events or sports or something. Only nerds listen to, like, more than one podcast and follow them and think they matter.
I gotta be careful. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Morgan, because she said it lovingly.
I think Ian said something about how Ashley controls my life on one episode. Ashley got upset about it and was like, rightfully so. I was like, no, we make our own decisions and talk to each other. We make decisions, less she makes them. It's like, she just makes more sense than I do. So it seems like she just kind of makes all the decisions. Like, no, her idea, just there's a logical through line that I didn't think of, but... Yeah, she's smarter than I am in pretty much every way. So,
makes sense. It's good you realize that
now. Yeah. That was the one compliment. This girl at work, she hates me, makes fun of me all the time, and it's fine. I'm her boss, technically. So I'm winning. The one compliment she ever gave me was I said something about how Ashley is virtually better at me than everything, and she's like, at least you admit it. I was like, yeah. She's like, most guys I know don't admit it, even though it's usually true. I was like, like, yeah, she's virtually everything.
There you go.
I don't have anything to wrap up the show with, do you?
You know, I don't actually remember how you usually wrap up the show.
I usually tell people where to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, even though the only time I tweet the one guy I referenced before, he's a YouTube creator and talks about comic books. I tweeted him, and he's interacted with me every time I've tweeted him, and besides that, it's been obscure pop-punk song lyrics that I think are funny to tweet. That's the only things I ever tweet ever.
Yeah, I've never been on Twitter or Instagram. At some point I became old. Like, I got Facebook when it was cutting edge, and that's all I ever ended up with. So now everybody just needs to get off my lawn.
I listened to a story about a person saying, I think I'm old now because I went to a JCPenney's, realized I needed socks after I was going to get pants for, like, a thing I had to go present at. Just picked up the only bag of socks I had that had, like, the most amount in them. Tried to scan them. It said they were $20, and I almost yelled at the cashier because I thought that was outrageous. He's like, and I got in the car, I was like, I guess I'm old now. I guess that's what that means.
See, I thought you were going to stop when you said, I guess I'm old now. I went to JCPenney.
No, cheap clothes is not old, right? Oh, boy. You can...
Yeah, wrap us up, Mark.
Yeah, you can vote at letmepitchthistoyou@gmail.com. The rule of only voting for me still applies. Nobody does. I don't win every week.
Yeah, I've not been following that rule. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. Keeps voting for Ian to embarrass me on the internet. If you liked Matt being on the show, and we get more views now, we will kick Ian off. Gladly to get more views. No, to be honest, if anything comes of that, we'll probably try to get Matt as a weekly guest, and me and Ian will rotate in and out if you guys like Matt more than us. So just vote. You can follow me on Twitter if you want to, at AfroThunda. You can like us on Facebook. That's where Matt usually leaves his comment. And we used to discuss it, but now we kind of just talk about it on the show, which I kind of don't like because I like the idea of having a back and forth where we talk about things together.
Yeah, that's true. It's gonna be different.
Yeah, I know Ian's talked about, he's like, we should find a way to, like, get Matt on a lot of episodes and either be a live judge. And my idea is, like, what if we just, like, Skype him in and do, like, a live Matt's Majestic Mind or something? Or we can find, like, any way to do it. Like, we just have, like, a segment where me and Ian, like, talk to you And then we can just plug it into the show anywhere. Like, it doesn't have to be live when we record at random times because we're busy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of caused some problems already where, like, I feel obligated to leave an in-depth comment every week now because, like, if I don't, then you're going to be like, what did we do?
We're out of a segment. Oh, shoot. No, as long as you vote, or you, it doesn't have to be in-depth. You can just be like, no, they were both kind of crappy. I vote for Ian. That's fair. I understand.
I'll keep that one in reserve.
Yeah, I think a lot of our ideas, as cool as I think they are before I pitch them, when I listen to them back, before I even see your comment, I'm like, that's kind of a garbage stink idea I shouldn't have talked about for an hour. Yeah, I guess this is how the sausage is made, so that we can talk about off air. Thanks for watching or listening. This episode's only going to be audio, because we didn't go to Ian's house because Ian's out of town.
And no one's allowed to see my face.
That's fair. It's mainly because Matt's so much older than me and Ian, and me and Ian are so much worse looking than Matt, that, like, you guys would think he's already better than us, more so than he is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're already so much better than us, they don't need to know how much better than us you are. because then, again, they'll, like, just get both of them off the show, and we'll listen to Matt talk for an hour, and just he'll take their intellectual property of letting me pitch this to you, and run a podcast, and him and Marcus and Ian can come up with a different idea for a podcast.
I'm a lot better being reactive than proactive. A podcast with me would be an hour of silence, I think. it's just not going to fly.
Yeah, I thought about, real quick, this is the last thing I'm going to say, and we can end it. Again, I have to talk more, so I stay in people's heads.
Oh, I see. You have to have the last word.
Yeah, okay. For sure. I thought about, until Ian said he's for sure going to listen and do stuff, was I've been trying to get Ian into a D&D campaign that I'm working on. I thought about pitching you this idea of my D&D campaign.
But then he would hear it.
Yeah, but then Ian would know everything, and there's some plot twists and stuff that go on. The one gimmick that's in it, and this is, by gimmick, I mean it's me being lazy, I'm bringing in characters that I know Ian and I, and I'm trying to get another friend of ours to play, are fans of. So I don't have to do a lot of character development on, like, NPCs that nobody's going to talk to a lot. Because I want, like, not to waste a lot of time getting to know a bunch of NPCs all the time and kind of have more plot arc stuff.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But to the extent that, like, have you seen Psych?
Yeah.
Like, I want to have Sean and Gus in the thing. I want to have Corey Matthews in my D&D campaign. And I can't tell if it's a fun, zany idea that people will get behind or just total crap that nobody will like.
I literally did that with the... I tried to run a campaign. It went for two sessions before I ran out of time, but... Sorry, we're going way over here, but... No, I completely ripped off Lawrence of Arabia and put that into my campaign. Like, they met the... It worked really well because no one had seen it except for me. Which is the way with a lot of my stuff, I guess. But, no, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so
just put them in there.
Yeah, and I was like, and then that way... Like, because I don't want to do, like, the whole, like, the untrusting characters. Like, oh, I don't know if we should trust these people right away or something.
And then make it Sean and Gus.
And then spend, like, a whole bunch of time of me trying to, like, show them, like, no, these are the people you have to trust to make the story go forward. Like, no,
just make them Sean and Gus.
Yeah, so I'll be like, I'll make it all characters we know so we can kind of get quick reactions.
Bond.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I like it.
That's our show. Yeah, if Ian promises not to listen to the next episode and Matt's on it, I might pitch that. thanks for listening or watching on YouTube. We have to say thank you to all the people. Thank you to Matt for being on the show. Ian, I can't believe you're not dedicated enough to make this your full-time job.
Seriously,
man. thank you, Tim Schoenfeld. I almost said Matt Schoenfeld again.
I'm actually here.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim Schoenfeld, for our theme song, and thank you, Whack Matters, for hosting us on iTunes. This has been Let Me Pitch This to You.
Vote for Lawyer Rabbit.
When others are trapped in their beds, that's when I am free. Thanks to booty, 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 booty pajamas. Booty, 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 booty pajamas. Booty, 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 booty pajamas. They let me be what I need to be.
I mean,
awesome.
That's what he says sometimes.
How do you connect to this?
There's a password. I don't know what it is.
Nah, don't worry about it.
Whew. I don't know what to do. I've never actually had to intro. Oh, here. No, here's how I intro.